When you post hunting photos on Instagram, they get censored. When you post on Go Wild, you get virtual fist bumps from fellow hunters. When you buy gear on Amazon, you gas up a billionaire spaceship. When you buy gear on Go Wild, we donate to a camp that teaches kids to hunt, fish, and shoot. See the difference? Go Wild is a free social community built by hunters for hunters. Join today at downloadgowild.com and I'll give you 10 bucks just for setting up your account. And you'll keep unlocking Go Wild rewards as you share content because guess what? We like hunting pictures. Join at downloadgowild.com or in the App Store.
The Houndsman XP podcast is fueled by Joy Dog Food. Joy Dog Food has a rich tradition of supporting the Houndsman of America. Founded in 1945, Joy is proud of its history and the relationship it has built with the American Houndsman. And in 76 years, there's never been a recall. Made with 100% American-made high-quality ingredients, Joy Dog Food has one of the highest calorie-dense formulas on the market. For 76 years, this made-in-America product has kept hunting dogs in the field day after day, season after season. And when we say made in America, Joy has a long track record of fighting for American freedoms by being on the front lines against the animal rights movement and their extremist tactics. Joy will fuel your hounds and fight for your freedoms, fueled by Joy. This is the Houndsman XP Podcast.
Good dog, get that bird. Get that bird in here.
The original podcast for the Complete Houndsman. The podcast that represents our lifestyle of extreme performance.
Get up there! Get him! Yeah! Good boy!
Good boy, Ranger!
Uniting houndsmen across the globe, from east to west, north to south.
You know, if you're going to catch a cat or a lion, you know, you have to have teamwork.
We take you to the wildest places on earth.
Yeah, so how many days a week do you spend out there?
As much as I can, to be honest with you. Anytime that I get, I'm out there.
Join us for every heart-pounding adventure on Houndsman XP.
I'll tell you like I tell everyone else, I'm going to hunt whether you're here or not, so you might as well be here.
Who doesn't need to save money right now these days? You know, everything is going up, 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 and Shorty and I are going to discuss in this podcast how you can save a few bucks here and there. Now, don't be confused. We are not trying to get anyone to take shortcuts or not give their hounds the most up-to-date, best care possible by giving you this advice. We say it several times in this podcast. We're not veterinarians. We're just ranchers and farm kids that grew up in this stuff our whole lives, and we can read labels and we see through some of the slick marketing out there. You know, my veterinarian that I use, he makes a lot of money off of lap dogs and people's little fur babies, and he understands houndsmen, and he has worked with me on a lot of the things that we're going to talk about. But Shorty has done the bulk of heavy lifting on this, the hard work. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's done a lot of research on this stuff. But we are going to talk about one of the hottest topics on social media and on the internet, questions that get asked around the clubhouse and things that are talked about, and that is cross-label medications that we can use for our hounds. And what I mean by that is things that you will find in the farm store at your local Orscheln, Rural King, wherever you're shopping, Farm and Feed, farm fleet and supply, whatever they call it in your area. This is all stuff that's available to you off the shelf. And we're just going to talk about a lot of those things. So again, we are not veterinarians. We're not claiming to be veterinarians, but we've used every one of these products that we're talking to you about on this program. And as you will hear us say, if you have any questions about any of this, ask your vet, ask your veterinarian. If he won't talk to you straight up about active ingredients and things like that in the medications that are marketed for hounds and pets, then you probably need to find a new vet anyway. But here's just some down-to-earth, real-life experience and ways that you can stretch those dollars and make them go a little farther. Maybe you'll have enough change left over to buy another hound. Or if you really want to make some end rows, take your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend on a nice dinner out. But hey, I highly recommend listening all the way through this podcast. Before we get there, I want to shout out to a couple new sponsors that you are going to hear. I want to give a shout out and a big thanks to Joy Dog Food for fueling the Houndsman XP podcast. Seriously, guys, I've been feeding Joy Dog Food now. I was trying to figure it up the other day. It's got to be around 8 months now. And I've been pretty impressed for the value and the performance I'm getting out of Joy Dog Food. I highly recommend it. And like always, we don't take sponsorship dollars from a company for products that we would not use ourselves. And like I said, I've been using it for 8 months. I've seen a big difference in coat condition and energy levels and a lot of different stuff. It's a good product. Highly recommend Joy Dog Food. The other new sponsor we have on board is Briar Creek Kennel, and they are a supply company. Jim Ridge started a supply company years ago. I shopped with Jim when I was on that side of the state religiously for all my hunting supplies and things like that. And as time goes on, Chris Girth took over the operation there. I've known Chris for a number of years. He's a local guy. He's a down-to-earth guy. He's an accessible guy, and he's an honest guy. He's going to be straight up with you, and he's that kind of guy, too. He is not going to sell you something that he would not use himself or has not used himself. So, highly recommend Briar Creek. Welcome aboard, and also, as always, I want to thank our Patreon members. You guys are the heart and soul of this podcast, and we really have enjoyed producing the Crowdcast events for you. And thanks. We appreciate it. Guys, it is time to get the dog box open and open the doors on this Old South dog box. We got a hot track, and it's all about saving you money. And it's time to dump the box. Southern Hound Hunting Magazine is the most comprehensive magazine that represents your lifestyle as a houndsman. If you can hunt it with a hound, it is being covered in the pages of Southern Hound Hunting Magazine. You also get an in-depth look at the men and women who are engaged in this lifestyle, living it every day to the fullest. From the Rocky Mountains to the Southern Swamps and across the ocean, with articles about our international houndsmen and what they're chasing across the pond. Go to southernhoundhunting.com, get your subscription for $15 a year. Southern Hound Hunting Magazine, promoting the fair chase experience. Hey Shorty, we are going to talk about something that gets talked about a bunch on social media platforms, and it used, you know, the internet, things like that, and houndsmen talk about this stuff every time they're around. It's going to be highly controversial, but since it's already being talked about, we're going to discuss this from our perspective and the things that we've done, and we're going to talk about, I don't even know, is it cross-labeling or off-label medications for our hounds? How would you explain that?
I guess I would say it's more cross-label, because nothing that we're going to talk about
is not used for hounds or dogs. It is oftentimes advertised differently. So one medication advertised for dogs is way more expensive than the same medication advertised for horses or cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably cross-label.
So, and what's the motivation here? It's obviously to save money, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the hardest parts about being a houndsman is paying for all this stuff. You know, it's an expensive habit. The more dogs you get, the more expensive it gets. And every dollar we can save is one that we can put in that gas tank. And with $3 fuel, we know that's important right now.
I agree. You know, and most of this stuff, like, you know, things that you go to the vet for and you get prescribed by your vet are marketed in a way to maximize profit margins on that stuff. And we're not veterinarians. We're going to put that right out there up front. We're not veterinarians. We're not giving anybody medical advice. We're just going to discuss things that we've done with our hounds with good success and really no adverse reactions to any of it. It's pretty much common knowledge, but we're just going to dispel some rumors and maybe give somebody some ideas. One thing I would say is if you're a guy with one hound at the house, then it's not that much cheaper just to go ahead and go to the veterinarian's office, but we're going to give you some ideas anyway, how you might be able to have some workarounds on some of that stuff. But this is kind of your baby and in your wheelhouse, Shorty. So I'm gonna let you take off with it. And
well, another thing, anything that we tell you here, go ask your veterinarian if it's going to hurt your hound before you use it, because most of them, if they're good people, they'll tell you no. If they're just trying to bend you over and get every dollar out of you they can, they're going to tell you yeah, but definitely have that conversation. I don't want you guys trusting what we're saying. And again, like Chris said, we are not veterinarians. But, you know, I started out kind of categorized this stuff, and I started out with wormers because that's something that we all, no matter where we're from, that's something that we have to contend with. Different places, different parts of the world are going to have heartworms. Some of them don't have to worry about it. But item number one, I put down ivermectin. Now, there are several different ways that this is supplied. But know this, ivermectin for dogs, ivermectin for cattle, ivermectin for horses, ivermectin for humans, it's all the same thing. It's just supplied in different ways and different quantities. And if I buy ivermectin, there's an injectable, there's a pour-on, and there's a horse paste. If I buy ivermectin injectable at Tractor Supply Company for cattle or horses, well, it's going to be labeled for cattle. The bigger the bottle I buy it in, the cheaper it's going to get. And that's just something that you need to know. I've used pour-on. I like the pour-on. I don't like sticking needles in my dogs all the time. You're just going to have to do some math. That's something that I'm not going to do for you. But I will say, if you give ivermectin, and this consulting with my veterinarians, if you give ivermectin in the mouth, you're going to want to give a higher dose than you would under the skin. So if I'm giving injectable ivermectin to a dog, it's going to be 1/10 of a cc per 10 pounds. So half a cc for a 50-pound dog. If I'm giving that same dog injectable ivermectin and squirting it in their mouth, I'm going to give them a cc. And the reason is because a dog's stomach is so strong that it breaks ivermectin down so quickly in their stomach that they're not – you're getting a small percentage of it is actually going to work. The rest of it just gets killed in their stomach. And that is directly from my dog vet. So pour-on I like
– I've always been a little bit – I've always been a little bit lighter on that. I've always done the 1/10 of a cc per 10 pounds, even in the mouth, you know, when I'm giving it orally. Had a dog pop up positive. I live in heartworm type areas. So you can go down as far as 1/10 of a cc per 10 pounds and be confident that you're still getting more than if you didn't give heartworm preventative at all, you know?
Right.
So,
right. The reason I'm not afraid to give them that half or that one cc is because I was doing some research on mange, a few years back, and that same 50-pound dog, you're given a cc and a half of ivermectin injectable once a week. And so
orally?
It is no injectable.
Okay.
And
but are you
and
giving it to him? You're giving it to him, giving him a shot, or are you giving him to him?
No, I've given him a shot.
Okay. Yeah.
Sub Q. Yep. Yeah. And so that's a lot of ivermectin, and I've always heard, you know, be careful. I do know like your cow dogs can be reactive to ivermectin. So if you've got a long haired dog, any like your border collies, McNabs, right, stuff like that, be careful with it. Talk to your vet about it. But yeah, so it is a Nobel Peace Prize winning drug, and I want to say like there's almost never been a human death by using ivermectin, so it's pretty safe drug. But use it wisely.
And how many different forms of ivermectin have you used? As far as you talked about pour-on, you talked about injectable. Let's talk about the horse paste that made
paste.
Yeah, paste wormers.
Yep, paste, and that's something. It's easy to get. That guy that has one hound, this is one of those where you can go downtown and buy it, paste and save some money. You can definitely save some money by buying paste, because one tube of paste oftentimes is gonna be enough to do probably 6 or 8 wormings for your dog. So it's not like it's going to sit on the shelf and go bad. You should be given ivermectin. If you're in heartworm areas, you should be given it once a month. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could buy a tube or two of ivermectin at Tractor Supply Company or Ace Hardware. A lot of times has it, or at least out here in Texas, and you'll be just fine. There is ivermectin paste that's just ivermectin paste. And there's also, if you're going to do that, like oftentimes I'll go down to, I'll use either Zemectrin Gold or Equimax. And the reason is because it has ivermectin in it, but it also has Praziquantel in there. And so you're getting tapeworms. You're getting all worms. But
roundworm, tapeworm.
Praziquantel. Yep. And the Praziquantel gets the tapeworms. And, as far as I know, I don't think anything else does of the wormers unless you give it to them multiple days in a row. But
I want to talk about something about you. Are you talk about how to give this paste wormer? Because you see a lot of different stuff out there being passed around, and you see everything. You know, put a squirt a size of a pearl, or a squirt the size of a pea, or a pencil eraser, or whatever it is, and put it in their mouth. And a lot of times what happens, and I've done this myself, is if you don't get that ring set right on that tube when you're trying to squeeze this out, you can put half a tube in the dog's mouth before you know it. And then you're in there digging around in their mouth trying to get the excess wormer out. So squirt it out on your finger, that size, you know, and it's going to be about the size of a pencil eraser or so, and then give that to your dog that way. Don't try to squeeze the tube and depend on those locking rings, because
they don't always work.
They're made in China by some 5-year-old kid, so.
Yeah.
And I'm not trusting that. Thing.
Okay, so while we're talking about that, if you do choose to give it to them straight out of the tube, and that ring slips, and you give a dog a whole tube of this, and I've done it, and luckily I have a good vet friend that lived right down the road at the time. I ran the dog down there. He went inside the house. He grabbed a bottle of hydrogen peroxide and a 20cc syringe, and he filled that syringe with peroxide, squirted it down that dog's throat, waited a few minutes. The dog didn't vomit. He got another syringe full, squirted it down the throat. Within probably 30, 45 seconds, the dog vomited, and he said, there you go, you're fine. So know that if your dog ingests poison of any kind,
exactly,
or if you overworm it, or you see it eat rat poison or something, that's one way. Again, I would, if I saw my dog eat rat poison, I would definitely get to the vet. But if you're a couple hours from the vet, get some hydrogen peroxide, get it down their throat, and you will make them vomit that way.
Yep, yep, good advice right there. What else on wormers, man?
So from the ivermectin, another heartworm wormer is going to be moxidectin. This is another wormer that can be supplied via liquid injectable, pour on, or the horse wormer version of it is going to be Quest. If you're given the injectable, it is a quarter cc per 11 pounds, and you can give it subcutaneous or IM. Now, the thing about moxidectin is, and somebody smarter than I haven't got to talk to my veterinarian yet on this, but there is a form
you're gonna have to tell us what IM is. Explain what IM is.
In the muscle.
Yeah.
IM is in the muscle. But this moxidectin, you can get it for dogs from a veterinarian. And the way I understand it is there's two bottles, like your vaccines, where you mix it. So you take the content out of one bottle, put it in the other bottle, shake it around, and you can give that in the muscle, and depending on the dose you give the dog, it's a heartworm preventative for 6 months to 12 months, depending on the dose. One dose gives you 6 months, another dose gives you 12 months. I don't know if it's the exact same thing as regular moxidectin wormer, or if this carrier agent is what makes it last longer. That's something I'm going to investigate, and on a future episode, I should have some more information on that. But again, you can get it Quest as a paste. You can use the pour on or the injectable at a quarter cc per 11 pounds for the moxidectin, and it is a heartworm wormer. So from there, we jump down to these multiple worm wormers. These are going to be your horse paste.
Let me back up just a second about Ivamec. So when you're given Ivamec, dogs hate. I mean, they hate it. It tastes mm-hmm. horrible.
Yep.
I'm not going to tell you I know it tastes horrible, but with the COVID thing, I know that it tastes horrible.
I will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, the apple paste isn't too terrible.
Yeah.
It's not. It's hard to get.
They've got a new maple flavor out too, I think, for the fall. If they had it in pumpkin spice, I could get my wife on it. Briar Creek Kennels is your complete hound hunting outfitter. Boots, lights, collars, and tracking equipment. Dog boxes, kennel supplies, collars, clothes, squalors. Whew, they have it all. Briar Creek Kennel is a Garmin and Dogtra dealer. Owner Chris Girth will ensure Briar Creek Kennel customers will get top of the industry customer service. Whether you purchase from their website or you find them at a major coonhound event, Chris and his staff will share expert knowledge and experience about every product they offer. Chris Girth is a top competitor and breeder of hounds. He knows what gear you need to be successful. Look for Briar Creek Kennels on the web for a complete online store, or look at their fully stocked trailer at any major coonhound event. Briar Creek Kennels, offering a hound hunting public generations of excellence. So when you just give straight injectable for cattle to dogs,
mm-hmm.
you can get by with it a couple times, but they get to the point where they know it's coming, and you're going.
Yep.
So what I do is I go ahead and I've got a dish there. Go ahead and squirt it in the dish, and then you can pour a little beef broth in there, a little chicken broth in there, or milk, just a little bit of milk, not too much milk because that could scour a dog, but just enough milk, and they will actually lick every bit of it up. So it can be a little bit easier way to administer. I've been doing it for so long, and that it's easy for me to give it to them straight up right out of the syringe. And the other way you can do it is you can put that milk in a bowl and then just draw some up in the syringe with your Ivermec,
right.
And mm-hmm. and go ahead and give it to them that way. And it takes away a little bit of the burn, and that's normally the way I will do it.
Gotcha. And for the same reasons, my favorite way here that I've been doing the past few years is using the pour on. And I simply, like, there's a little squeeze bottle, the one that I have, you squeeze the bottle, it fills up a little deal on top.
Yep.
And I think the smallest dose on it's for 100 pounds on the one that I have. So I just go about halfway up to that first line and pour it on their back just like you would a pour on for fleas or
ticks. And it just absorbs straight through their skin into the...
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, sticking them with a needle, no going down the throat.
I've never used pour on. I've never done it that way.
Yeah, I've done it for a few years now, and it's by far the easiest.
Yeah.
So
let's go on into those other wormers, man.
Okay, so for your multi-worm, well, for your horse wormers, you have your, and there's a bunch of them that are just straight Ivomec. The ones that I like, if I'm going that route, is Quest Plus, which is moxidectin, praziquantel, Zimectrin Gold, which is ivermectin, praziquantel, or Equimax, which is ivermectin, praziquantel. If I'm going to go with one of those last two, I usually choose the Equimax. It's the same price, and it's a little bit stronger. The Zimectrin Gold is 1.55%, ivermectin 7.75%, praziquantel, versus the Equimax, which is 1.87%. ivermectin and 14.03% praziquantel. Now, when you're giving them this, to get enough praziquantel in those dogs, like a 50-pound dog, you're going to want to give them a dose for a 200-pound dog.
If you don't, you're not giving them.
Or 200-pound horse, yes.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're not getting enough praziquantel in the dog to kill the tapeworms. So that's something to keep in mind right there. And those are pretty much your horse wormers. There is some other horse wormers. You can go with Safeguard or Panacure, and this is going to be fenbendazole. The thing about fenbendazole is you're going to want to give it for 3 days consecutively, and it's going to be provided in a liquid or a paste. If you're going this route, okay, for and I switch up. Like I like to use different wormers throughout the year. The praziquantel I usually give in the spring and the fall, just like I would my horses. And other than that, I'm using the ivermectin or the moxidectin monthly for heartworms. But then I'll bounce down here to the Safeguard or the Panacure. And I've got a lot of dogs, so I buy it in a big jug. Like if you buy a gallon jug, it's a couple hundred dollars, but you can do a pile of dogs that'll last you a year or so. But if not, again, go to the horse paste. Mm-hmm. That's an easy way to do it. You could buy it for goats. But always whenever you buy the liquid in the bigger jugs, it's going to save you a lot of money right there.
Did I miss the dose you had for Safeguard? Cause that seems to be, that is so widely available. You can walk into any farm store and find Safeguard liquid.
The liquid's going to be 1 cc per 5 pounds. I'm glad you said that because I did miss that. 1 cc per 5 pounds of body weight, and you're going to want to give it 3 days consecutively. Some people say 5 days consecutively. I've done both, but at least 3 days consecutively. So that's a good one. I use that quite often when I'm not using the praziquantel. I go with the fenbendazole. This mm-hmm. is another thing that you were talking about COVID. That's another drug that some cancer patients are actually playing with a little bit. They say that it can kill cancer. So I don't know if that's true in dogs as well, but I do know of some people messing with it. But from there, you can go to the Valbazin. This is another.
Valbazin.
Valbazin, is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's how us hillbillies say we say Valbazin.
Okay, that's probably that's probably more correct. And this is gonna kill everything but heartworms. It's gonna be 1 cc per 10 pounds, 3 days consecutively, and that's another one that I will use from time to time, especially if I don't use the praziquantel. And the reason I switch up. And I may be right or wrong, I don't know, but I don't want these worms building an immunity to anything.
Exactly.
So I like to use different things throughout the year just to throw a curveball at them.
That's an old farmer trick. I mean, cattle farmers, sheep farmers, pig farmers have done this for years, and yet as dog owners, we go to the vet and we get the heart guard that's got the same thing in it, and we give them the same ingredients every month. Mm-hmm. And things mutate, you know, they evolve and build up resistance. I mean, there's weeds out there that have built up resistance to glyphosate or Roundup.
Yep.
So a living, breathing parasite can do the same thing. So that's exactly why I change it up too.
And that's why on the heartworms, that's why I've been, once I figured it out that it could be used. I've wondered for a long time, but hadn't done the research until here about 6 or 8 months ago. But that's why I use that moxidectin on the heartworms from time to time too, just to throw that curveball in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's two other wormers that I want to talk about before we move on to something else. And this goes back to we're out of the horse wormers, the traditional horse and cattle wormers. So this goes back to the praziquantel. And this is what I've been doing here lately is go down to PetSmart and buy praziquantel fish wormer. It's 99.9%. Sometimes you'll find 100%, but it is praziquantel fish wormer, and you can buy it in half pound, 5 pound buckets, and simply take that. And if you have a scale, and you'll have to do the math yourself. I'm not going to do all that for you here, but I bought some capsules from the health supply store, just your regular old gel capsules. And pull them apart and fill them up, drop them on the scale until I get where I want to go. So for a 35 to 50 pound dog, doing it this way, you're going to want to give them 102 milligrams of praziquantel. 51 to 70 pound dog is 136, and 71 to 95 is 170. Again, check this. This is stuff that I've got off the internet. Just doing research and
it's gotta be true.
Well, yeah, exactly. So,
I got a question. Can you load those gel caps up in your reloader? And
that's exactly what I do.
No, you do not. You put them in your reloader.
No, I take the gel caps, and they actually make it looks like a little table that you put the gel caps on and shake them, and they fall in, and it's actually made to fill pills.
Yeah.
And then you take like a credit card and move the praziquantel around, and it falls in those deals, and then another piece, and it puts the top on them. And somebody I've never done it yet, but I've been threatening to get one of those. You can get them from like 25 pills to 200 pills. They'll do that many at one time. But I just take the gel cap and dunk it in the praziquantel and tap it a little bit, put the top on it, throw it on my reloading scale until I get to the weight that I'm looking for, and it's that easy.
I'm thinking we could probably set up a die for a progressive, like a Lee bench reloader, a progressive mm-hmm. reloader, and we'll just flip that handle and keep them rotating around and get what we need.
They have stuff out there that does it. Yeah, you can find it in the medical field that does exactly that. So,
yeah.
I've been threatening to do it for a while. I just haven't stopped to figure out what sizes I need and what size capsules.
There you go. What caliber would that be? 25, right. 17? I don't know.
He's a 25 caliber dog. This one's a...
I've had
270.
I've had a lot of 22 caliber dogs.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What else you got?
One more on the wormer.
When you're done.
Okay. You might not after this one.
Okay.
If you don't like chemical wormers, go ahead. I'll give you the bone. Go ahead.
You going to say diatomaceous earth?
Yes.
Man, yes, I'm going to tell you what. So I kicked this whole deal into high gear on the diatomaceous earth. And I actually, in the video series I did on raising pups, I talked about diatomaceous earth because it's an all natural deal. And as long as you don't overdose it, you don't want to clog up your dog's digestive tract with this stuff. But it's virtually it's virtually impossible to do. The label says do not exceed 1 to 2% of feed. So in their feed, total feed for the day, daily feeding, 1 to 2%. So if you think
can you
about,
do it daily?
I have.
Or is this a once a month deal or a daily deal? Or
I used to do it once a week.
Gotcha.
And I decided that I was going to step it up a little bit and do it daily. And
Because it won't hurt them.
It will not hurt them. And
there's no chemicals in it whatsoever.
Nope. The only thing you run, you got to make sure that you give access. I mean, plenty of access to good water, so that you know that stuff can be digested properly and pass through, because they're not going to digest this diatomaceous earth. They are going to pass it. But what happens is they build up this residual coating of diatomaceous earth in their digestive tract, and then no parasites can live in that environment. It's impossible.
And the way that it kills them, from what I understand, is it's like microscopic little shells that have sharp, pointy edges on it. And the parasites...
It's fossilized crustacean is what it is. So go ahead.
And so and people use it for fleas and ticks and stuff too, but these little sharp pointy deals, which will not hurt your dog, but it pokes holes in the parasite and causes them to die of dehydration.
Yep.
So it's totally natural.
Or they will feed on it. So you get an intestinal parasite and like a tapeworm or roundworm, and they're actually robbing your dog from the nutrients in the feed. They're picking this up and they're trying to digest it, and it just literally cuts them up from the inside out.
Right.
Same thing happens to
fleas. This is going to be a real cheap way to go. I've seen it. I don't know what the bags cost, but they sell it at Tractor Supply in a 50-pound bag. So you can buy this stuff for very, very cheap if that's the route you want to go. Totally, totally cool with that. I haven't used this one yet. But it's something that I'm definitely looking into, because it's seems to be pretty simple and really, really safe, and I think it could be super cheap.
Well, I took a stool sample in, and I went to the daily deal. So what I do, the way I apply it, is I've got a feed bucket that I feed out of every day, and I will measure a small amount of feed into the bucket, and then I'll simply sprinkle just a somewhat generous shaking. I'm not coating or, you know, the diatomaceous earth in there, but giving that layer of feed a good coating. I measure out some more feed, put some more feed in the bucket, put another layer of diatomaceous earth, and I just layer it in my bucket like that. That way when I feed, it mixes throughout the feed, and then each dog gets diatomaceous earth on a daily basis. And I've been doing that for about a month and a half now. And I decided to run a stool sample down to my vet just for a checkup. Zero worms, zero parasites. This stuff is cheap. It's easy to apply. You can even put it in your flour. Like if you're going to – your own personal food, if you're a food store person and you've got – you know, 10 pounds of flour, you can dust some diatomaceous earth on top of that, and it's perfectly safe and all organic.
Well, and then when you eat it, you're going to be, you know, deparasiting yourself. So.
Deparasiting yourself, but it also keeps, like, you know how you get meal bugs and stuff in your flour? They won't exist in there with it. They can't.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And that's, before we move on from the wormers, you brought something up that made me think of this. If you're wondering if your program is actually working, you could take your vet a stool sample, or you can take them a blood sample, or you could go down there and let them gather a stool sample or a blood sample if you're not comfortable doing it, and let them run it, and they will tell you if it's working or if you need to up your dose or change something. The only reason that we're telling you all these things that we just told you about wormers is because we're trying to cheapen it up as much as we can for you. But we want to make sure that you're getting enough of this into the animal to have a parasite-free animal. So don't just trust that it's working. Go run it by your vet every once in a while.
Yep. Check your own work. Check your own work. Where are we headed now, Shorty?
Let's go to some more parasites. Let's go to flea and ticks. And there's several things here. I know I did a video a little while back on insect tags, and how to easily attach those to your dog collar. If you haven't seen it, you can go to Houndsman XP. I'll do another one here pretty quick. On your insect tags, there's something that you need to know. An insect tag is not just a cure-all. It is, there are different insect tags that do different things. And I actually printed off a sheet and doing my own research, and I printed off a sheet, and it compares all these different insect tags from different companies and the ingredients in them and what it actually protects against. And I went along there with a little highlighter, and I highlighted the ones that, you know, that protected against ticks versus the ones that didn't, and da-da-da-da-da. And that's how I came up with these tags. If you're going to use the insect tags, the only two tags that I recommend for ticks is going to be the Ytex XP820. That's the Ytex XP820, and it is the only tag that when you read across that sheet that protects against all the ticks. The other ones maybe will get one type of tick, and they don't necessarily. It'll say it helps with. It's not a preventative, and so the only one that really covered the tick deal with any effectiveness was that Ytex XP820. It's a yellow colored tag, and that's a good one for ticks. The other one that is going to be more geared toward, and the reason I use it here is because of these gnats. We've got a lot of gnats. Certain times of the year, they just are all over the dog's face, their eyes, their ears, up underneath their armpits and in on their belly, anywhere soft, they're attacking them. That's the Ytex Python, not the Magnum, not the Python Magnum, but just the purple Ytex Python tag. And that one's going to help. It targets flies, gnats, and mosquitoes. There's other tags out there that are going to help deal with flies, but that's pretty much all they're going to deal with. It when you start talking about your biting bugs like the fleas, the flies, the gnats, and the mosquitoes, those are the only two tags that I would recommend to defend off of those.
Yeah, and so when Alan Halata was on the podcast, he talked about multiple layers of protection. So if you're doing parasite control, if you're doing flea and tick control, if you're doing any of that stuff, you should be using multiple layers of protection here. Because if you've ever had a dog that contracts ellicolitis or
we have that down here,
Lyme's disease, any of that stuff, and now you're treating with mox, I'm convinced that a dog really never fully recovers from any of those things. It's going to affect performance down the road. So if you can use those multiple layers of protection, I was always skeptical of the cattle tags until I started talking to you about them. I really was. I was like, for freaking cows, I'm not putting that on my dog.
It's a multiple layer deal. I don't just solely rely on those.
Right, right. But the cattle tag deal, I was skeptical until I started talking to you, and I thought, well, I'm going to put it on a couple of my dogs and this year and see what happens. And I've been impressed. I haven't picked a tick off of them. I haven't. When we were in Wisconsin bear hunting, there were probably 30 hounds in camp total, and my hounds were laying outside their dog houses, not being pestered by flies. Other guys were headed to town to the store to get fly spray and all this other stuff. And my dogs were laying out there, and they just had a Y-Tex tag on their collar like you demonstrated how to attach it.
I had the exact same a friend of mine. I left some hounds at his house when I was out in California, and I came home for a minute, and he called me, and he said, "Hey, where do I get those tags?" I said, "What is that?" And same thing. He said, "Your dogs don't have any flies on them. My dogs do."
Right.
And he goes, "That's the only." And other than that, we worm the same. We every other thing that we do the same. The only thing that my dogs had, and the other thing was, because of the way he had his dogs chained out, he's got a big yard. It's fenced in underneath a bunch of big trees. And he had his dogs kind of every other chain deal. So when I put my dogs in there, they were kind of between his dogs. So it was a really good sample because it wasn't like my dogs are over here, his dogs are over there.
Yeah.
Well, they're, you know, it's cooler over here, so the flies are here, whatever. No, that they were intermingled in, and he said, "Hey, yours don't have any." And mine got flies all over them. So.
Yep.
But
I do go ahead and use the Y-Tex tag, and then I use, you may be talking about Permethrin, but I'll use Permethrin also on top of the Y-Tex for that extra layer of protection. Go ahead, Shorty. Hey, we'll be right back after we get this quick word from our sponsor. Check out Dogs Are Treed at dogsaretreed.com, and if you go to their website at checkout and enter the code HXP 20% off, you will get 20% off of your entire order on all of their branded products. Leashes, tie-outs, medical kits, paws are protected. Build your pack from the ground up and support a fellow houndsman that supports your lifestyle. Enter the code HXP 20% off at checkout. Go to their website today at dogsaretreed.com.
This is one that I haven't found it anywhere else. It's like the Diatomaceous Earth. This is an all natural. It is supposedly organic plants that are fermented, and they extract the liquid from it, and it's called Conserve SC. And this.
Can we ferment it?
Oh, I don't know.
Ferment it?
I will tell you this. When you use it, you put gloves on. I put rubber gloves on because if this stuff touches your skin, it has an odor of its own, and you will not be able to get that off your hands for a couple days. And so when you go to eat, you know, you're going to smell it. And it's not like a horrible smell, but it's definitely a different smell. I don't think it'll hurt you at all, but Conserve SC. And a friend of mine told me about this a few years ago, and I was a little skeptical. And he said, no, I've been using it for quite a while now. And so I started out with the bottom end of the dogs. And I didn't give it to my best dog right off the get go, but 1 cc per 10 pounds orally. And I'm going to tell you what, there is not a flea medicine in the world that is better than this. If you have fleas, this is hands down the best stuff I've ever used. And we've battled them. I've lived here for 15 years and we have battled fleas for 15 years. Well, no, for about 12 now. I would literally, I had several different chemicals that I would go down and spray the kennels heavily with every 10 days, every 10 to 14 days, right? They're trying to break the cycle, and we never could beat these fleas. I don't know what it is about here. We could never get ahead of these damn fleas. I mean, they were horrible. And it got to the point before I started using this, I used all these pour-ons, all this stuff, and we just couldn't break the cycle. The pour-on medications for canines, I went down and bought the expensive stuff and put it on these dogs and was religious about it. And And you never could get ahead of it. It would kill them, but they just kept hatching and hatching and hatching, and it was a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
And when I gave this to these dogs, they were covered pretty bad. I felt sorry for them. I did. They were covered pretty bad, and I was doing everything I could. And I gave this to all the dogs, and we've got a lot of dogs. Between my father-in-law, my stepson, and myself, we've got a lot of dogs here. And so, anyways, one of my father-in-law's or my stepson's dogs vomited it up. When I gave it to him, he threw up. And most of the dogs, well, I will tell you, what I will do with this stuff, and they eat it, just put it on their food, and they eat it. But at the time, I didn't know that, so I was putting it down their mouth. Anyhow, this dog threw it up, and I wasn't sure how much I got at him, how much I didn't, and I was pretty new to this stuff, and I didn't want to give him too much, so I just left good enough alone, hoping it would work. Went down there the next day, and these dogs were covered with fleas. Went down there the next day, and every dog, I might find two or three fleas on them, and they looked drunk. They were screwed up. They were dying. That dog that vomited it up was a yellow dog, and he looked like a high tan.
No kidding.
Dog was covered in fleas.
All the fleas left the other dogs and went to him.
Yep.
No way. So, what's this stuff called?
It's called Conserve SC. So I
got to look it up.
I drew up another dose, and I gave it to this dog. And this time I put the syringe down his throat so he couldn't, spit it back out. And it came down there the next day, and again, I could find maybe two or three, four or five fleas, and they all looked like they were leaving the bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. They were drunk. So, how often do you give it? You give it whenever you need to. That particular time, I wasn't sure. So, and I came back out a month later, and there was a few fleas on the dog. So I gave it to him again. That was the last time that year that I had to give those dogs anything for fleas. And every year after that, I've given it to them once. This stuff is absolutely unreal at killing fleas. So when you see fleas on your dogs, give it to them. When you don't, but I would be willing to bet that that you get to a point where you're only giving it to the dogs maybe once or twice a year.
Crazy. And
yeah, that is my all-time favorite right there. It's not cheap when you buy it. And you can buy that on Amazon. Like it's not scheduled
right
drug
now.
Or anything. You're probably not going to find it at Ace Hardware or Lowe's or something. Maybe you will. I don't know. But I've never found it anywhere other than buying it on Amazon.
And what is it again? It's active
conserve.
Ingredients. It says active ingredients are spinosad. Spinosad, spinosus A, and spinosin D. I don't know what that is. I don't know, man. When I start reading labels,
we probably won't know what it is because it's some kind of fermented plants.
Okay, all right.
So
yeah,
it's from
Dow Chemical is the one that I'm looking at. Conserve
yeah, it's
SC.
Like a,
it's a turf and ornamental
gray bottle
control.
With a green top.
Yep. For sure. Man, I don't know. So stuff like this, I have to look at it pretty close before I start shoving this down the
I've been
the
giving
dumpster.
It at least 3 or 4 years. I know a friend of mine here in town, I won't mention his name, he's been giving it for probably 5 years. And they're
heck, go ahead and
zero.
Throw him under the bus, too. He's the one that got us into this mess.
Yeah, no, I won't do it. He saved me a pile of money, man. I was spending, I don't know how much money a year fighting these things, and all of a sudden, it's like, poof, fleas, but fleas.
I've used the Bear, and I can't remember, it's the Bear Rose deal for fleas.
And tree and shrub.
Tree and shrub. Bear, yep. Tree and shrub, yep. Apply it to them, and just use it like I do the... typical topical or the topical treatments.
Yep.
And had real good success. But
the reason
given
you
this
use
internal.
That is it had one of these two in it, and we're gonna talk about them. But it was either, and I'm gonna butcher this, imidacloprid and S-methoprene, and those are both ingredients that are used in a lot of your Canine Advantix, Frontline, all that stuff. And that's, you could get that in Bear, Tree, and Shrub.
I'm going to look up Advantix real quick. So keep rolling. I'm going to look up Advantix ingredients just so we can.
Canine Advantix has, Canine Advantix 2 has that imidacloprid, and Canine Advantix is permethrin.
Okay. All right. Yep.
So, so let's go. So we're done with the conserve SC, and I'm telling you, if ticks or fleas are a problem, you guys are going to thank me for this one. Then we're going to go to Taurus SC or Termidor. Taurus SC or Termidor. Both of them are the same thing. The Taurus SC is kind of the generic version of it. It's going to be cheaper. And the active ingredient in that is fipronil. It's 8.9% fipronil. And that's going to be, and I don't have it wrote down all the, everything that's, that fipronil is in, but that is a lot of your over the counter, flea and tick, preventatives have fipronil in them. Now, I don't find that it's as good on fleas as it is on ticks. For ticks, this is my go-to. Taurus SC is what I use. And I just put it right down their back, just like you do your over-the-counter product. And it's going to be, I'm going to give you the dosage for it, because it's the exact same percentage, 8.9% fipronil is the exact same percentage as your over-the-counter products that have fipronil in them. So
like Frontline,
for 23,
yep, Frontline, all yep, that stuff.
Yep, exactly. For a 23 to 44 pound dog, you want to give 1.34 milliliters. So with this stuff, let me finish giving you the doses. For a 45 to 88 pound dog, you're going to want to give 2.68 milliliters. And for those of you that don't know, a milliliter is a cc. It's the same thing. For an 89 to 132 pound dog, you want to give 4.02 milliliters. This stuff is a little thicker than your store bought fipronil that's made for dogs. So when I put it on the dogs, I suck it up into a syringe. Now I start at the back of the dog and I go against the hair. And I try to get it right on the skin, and I go up the dog's back from tail to head and squirt it out as I go. And that gets it closer to the skin. It is thick enough that if you just pour it down the dog's back on top of the skin or on top of the hair and they shake, it's all going to come off.
Right.
So you want to get it down on the dog's back. But other than that, it's the same dose as your store-bought stuff. So that works really good. That's my tick go-to.
And I just did a quick Google search for the active ingredient in Frontline, and it is fipronil, and it's 9.8%.
9.8 or 8.9?
It's 9.8 according to Google.
I might have wrote it down wrong.
Googleistic, which
yeah,
I could go to another search engine that's not so liberal and we could see. But
I might have wrote fipronil it down wrong.
Yep. 9.8%.
Yeah. So, 50 pound dog, I usually give 3 cc's, and that's right there in that ballpark. So,
okay. So you're going tail to shoulders. You're going that whole distance to the back.
You don't have to. The main thing is to go against the hair and get it on the skin.
Right. Right. So are you ever afraid that a dog will like turn around and we've all seen dogs go after that flea at the base of the tail, them ingesting the fipronil?
Well, and I guess I didn't describe it properly. Not necessarily going from the tail head to the head. I'm going that direction.
Okay, I got you.
I usually start kind of behind the shoulders.
Yeah, there you go.
hoping that those dogs, you know, they can't really reach it right there.
Right.
I usually
go
behind the shoulders up to the base of the, I don't get to the head, but
because the collar's
about halfway
in the way.
Up their neck. But
I hear you.
But yeah, I go that direction.
I wanted to make sure there. Yeah, because,
thank you for pointing that out. Yep. Absolutely. So yeah, so for fleas and ticks, I'm going to recap this because these are my two go-tos. For fleas, Conserve SC. For ticks, Taurus SC. You can also use Termidor. Taurus SC is just cheaper. Then we're going to move on to permethrin. Now, there's a couple different ways to go at this. The easiest one is in permethrin. 45% permethrin is the active ingredient in Freedom 45, Century, Canine Advantix, Verbac, Effitix, Liberty, Provecta, just to give you an example. So you can buy at like Tractor Supply or at your feed stores, you can buy a fly deterrent for horses that's a pour-on. And there's two of them that stand out, Spot On or Equispot. Both of these are 45% permethrin. So, and they come in a little, like a, I don't know, 5 milliliter packet. You can actually just take a syringe and needle and go right through it and pull the permethrin out, or you can cut the top off and stick a needle down in there and get it out. But that right there, it's already 45% permethrin, so the math is really easy. All you got to do is look at your Freedom, Century, Canine Advantix, see how many milliliters they use for your weight dog, and copy it, because it's the same percentage. And again, the benefit to this is anytime you buy something for horses and cattle versus dogs, it's going to be cheaper. And this is going to save you a few bucks to get the same exact stuff. There's another way you can get the permethrin. Now, this is 40% versus the 45% of the Spot On or Equispot. Is Ytec makes a little bottle of pour on that's 40%, and you can buy that at Tractor Supply as well, and just, you know, give them a little bit more. You have to do the math, figure it out, but anyways, that's another way. And it's again, active ingredients and some pretty common flea and tick preventatives.
Absolutely. And I use the you call it permethrin. Again, it's just a regional thing. I call it permethrin. I'm also going to go out there on a limb and just say that even as people, we need to be applying. We apply this stuff to our hunting clothes back here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if it's safe for me, it's safe for my dog. And I use it in the concentrate. I spray it around the kennels, spray dog houses. I'll tie dogs out while I'm spraying, of course, and let it dry residually. But it's great for, man, it'll repel mosquitoes, bugs, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff around your kennel. So it's, again, it's part of that multi-level multi-layer protection for our dogs that veterinarians that are willing to talk to you will tell you about.
Right. Yeah. The good ones are, you know, the other ones are just trying to get in your pocketbook and you need
when you go to the heart of, you run out to that vet and you look around where his office is located and he's got $500,000, $1 million home surrounding his office. There's a good chance he's there to get the money from the foo-foo dog owner and the lap dog, the fur baby mama that is going to drag her dog in there every time he has a sniffle. And those guys are not going to tell you. If you've got a vet, we've been in this same thing. We have vets that come to the farm. That's always when I get dogs vaccinated. It's like, hey, come out and vaccinate the livestock or check, do a palpation or whatever you're going to do. While you're here, I need you to vaccinate the dogs and bang. And they talk to you. I really miss my old vet, Doc Beckett. I mean, I watched that guy do some stuff that He didn't have a lot of fancy equipment and stuff, but I saw him save animals, dogs from gunshot wounds. And I had a squirrel dog one time, not mine, but one I was hunting with that took an arrow through the neck. He saved the dog's life. And he would talk straight to you. And that's the kind of vets that we need to seek out and talk to about these sort of things.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And that's we're looking for Dr. Pohl.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'll have to look him up.
Oh, you haven't looked him up? Oh, he's got a TV show, Dr. Pohl.
No kidding.
Yeah, the kid's watching. But he's our kind of vet.
Yeah.
Like he's, just the real deal. But,
yep. What else you got, Shorty?
So from there, we're going to move. These next two, I'm not super huge fans of them, but they are ingredients in a lot of stuff. Thing I found, they work well. It's not as simple as these other three that I've already given you. And again, I'm going to butcher this imidacloprid. And that's one of the ingredients, because I've got it wrote down right here. I've got it in the Fertilome tree and shrub. So it's probably one of those ingredients in that Bayer tree and shrub.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8.8%. That's the same as Canine Advantix 2, Seresto, Advantage Multi, and Frontline Plus. It's a neurological deal that kills the fleas and ticks, but it doesn't prevent the eggs from being hatched. So if you're going to use that, and again, you're going to have to do the math on that for yourself. It's the same percentage as all those that I just mentioned, Canine Advantix, Resto, Advantage, Frontline Plus. If you're going to use that, I would recommend also using S-Methoprene at 8.8%. That's the same as Frontline Plus and Gold. Frontline Plus and Frontline Gold. On Guard, Zoo Guard, Pet Armor Plus, Spot On. And this actually assists in preventing the eggs from hatching. So if you're going to use a permethrin or the imidacloprid, I would recommend using the S-methoprene as well. But the first two that I gave you, the Conserve SC and the Taurus SC, man, those deals, they are simple, easy, cheap, and the most effective that I have yet to find.
Houndsman XP is very proud of our partnership with the organization Freedom Hunters. Freedom Hunters is a nonprofit organization that takes America's veterans hunting from field to field, from the battlefield to a field near you when you volunteer your time to take America's warriors hunting with you and your hounds. It's easy. Go to houndsmanxp.com, click on the partnership tab, and it will take you to Freedom Hunters. You can go direct to their website to make donations at freedomhunters.org. Support America's heroes. Let's pay it back. Visit Freedom Hunters at freedomhunters.org or go to houndsmanxp.com and you can find them on our website from field to field.
And then from there, and this is more like on the kennel care. So and I think this would work equally as well if you had like a raised kennel with wood floors or even
which is
synthetic
what I have.
Floors. I have concrete floors in mine. So what I'll do, and this will last for, 3 or 4 or 5 months. I'll take all my water buckets, food buckets, dishes, and I use those blue barrels. I take everything out of my kennel and then I get 38% permethrin which is aimed toward your termites. So if you're having trouble finding it, I do know our Ace Hardware here in town carries it. And I use that, and then I buy one of those, reusable, lawn and garden sprayers.
Mm-hmm.
That you can fill up with a chemical, and then the little kind of white clear colored deal with a black head on it is what I use, and I turn that sucker to 10. I fill it up with permethrin 38%, and I spray those floors in that kennel. I usually do it, like, if I can, when I'm going to go hunting, I'll load the dogs, get them out, load them in the truck, clean everything out, water buckets, everything, spray this on the floors, and I spray it at 10, and it's going to create a greasy film on there. And all you got to do is get it wet, get the whole floor wet. But I do that, and then I go hunting, and I come back, and it'll all have dried into that concrete. But it's going to have kind of a greasy, like, if you walk on it, it's slippery. Mm-hmm. My floors are those polished concrete, so they clean easier. It's slick, like with shoes on, you're ice skating.
Right.
I take a hose.
What's a guy from South Texas? What does a guy from South Texas know about ice skating? That's what I want to know.
I know that you use you use hockey skates rather than figure skates. I did learn that. I put a hole in my leg with figure skates, and then I talked to a friend of mine. The guy, I'll throw his name out there, Ty McClary. If you guys have ever watched the movie Mighty Ducks,
yeah,
the cowboy kid in there, he's one of my best friends. He actually worked for me out there in California when he was working in Hollywood. He was ranching for me during the daytime.
Yeah,
and so they actually had to learn to be college level hockey players to be in that movie. So they went through the whole deal.
Yeah.
And anyways, that's a trick that you need to know. If you've never been ice skating, use hockey skates, not figure skates.
This podcast is full kind.
That's what I know. You asked what I know.
I know. It's full of all kinds of knowledge. Where
anyways,
else can you get
this? After you're done ice skating across your kennels to see if
skates.
I'm right or wrong, just wash it off with water and wash all that permethrin off with water. Put all your stuff back in there, and it will kill any bugs, any fleas, any ticks. We have these kissing beetles down here that carry chagas that will kill your dogs, and they are a major, major problem. I also spray the stuff around the kennels.
Yep.
Those beetles, they like these woods where we got mesquite trees all around the kennel, so I spray all those trees and everything with it too. But anything that lands on that concrete for, I don't know, 3 to 6 months will die. And it'll blow your mind when you go out there every day and all the bugs that you see dead in that kennel because of that. So that's a cheap and easy kennel care. Knock on wood, I haven't had any problems with these kissing beetles since. But the first year that I did it, I'd go out there every day and I'd find 8 to 10 of them. Now mm-hmm. I find maybe one or two of them. But
I'll back that up a little bit about the permethrin and the kennel space. And I do the same thing. Take everything out, hose it all down. I mean, I don't hold back on that. And then, but man, I used to have, and I've got a tin roof on my kennel. And you would get wasp nests in there. You would get, had a hornet's nest in there one time. None of that is pleasant, even for me, while I'm out there trying to take care of dogs and kennels and stuff like that. And it's all gone. Spiders, no brown recluse, no spider webs in the kennels. And I have combated that simply with the permethrin. You know, spraying that in the kennel. It's taking care of all that. Plus, I've got wood kennels. It's all treated. Power wash it. Do all that stuff. And I don't have termite problems either.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's, you can find 10% in a lot of places. But that 38%, man, it just, the stronger it is, the longer it lasts, the longer the residual fact it lasts. And that's why they use like that. Well, and then go back to the Taurus SC and Termidor. The reason it's called Termidor is because it's for termites, the fipronil. Yeah.
Wow.
And so anything, and that those, if it's for termites versus fleas and tick, it's going to have a longer residual effect. And that's why that 38% works so much better than your normal 10%.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think, we've been rolling, and it's been a long time since I said this, but we've been rolling for about an hour here. And
next ones are going to go quick.
Are we going to do antibiotics, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's where
Let's save antibiotics and some of that stuff for the next one. Do you think there's enough there?
Yeah, we can definitely dive into that, you know, way deeper.
Let's do it in another episode for antibiotics and, you know, some of those.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff there. Everything from, you know, coccidia medicines to antibiotics to, you know, LA-200s. I mean, all of it. We can make a whole nother episode about that part of it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I hope what we told you guys here today can save you a lot of money and every penny counts. But again, we're not veterinarians, and we want you guys to check with your veterinarians. These off-label products that we gave you are, for the most part, they're the exact same thing that you can buy anywhere else. And keep this in mind. So as a chemical company, if the active ingredient is whatever it is, they don't go throw a whole bunch of chemicals in behind it because it costs them more money. They're throwing fillers in and stuff like that. So when you compare, you know, horse medicine versus a cow medicine versus a dog medicine, it's, if the active ingredient is whatever it is, it's the same all the way across the board. They may use something different in a paste just to get it to turn into a paste. But absolutely, we're not veterinarians. Check with your vets. These are just things that we've used that works for us. And we want them to work for you and to save you as much money as we can possibly get them to.
That's right. Just general information that we're getting out there. You know, Houndsman helping Houndsman here. And I think that the way I look at that, Shorty, is if I look at a label and the active ingredient is ivermectin, whether that label that I'm buying it from has a picture of a pig on it or it has a picture of a dog cuddled up in a little blanket, the active ingredient is the same. So the guy that's mixing that up, he goes over to this Big Ben, he gets out a little dose and he pours it in your, and then they put a fancy label on it and say it's for your fur baby and charge you six times as much.
Exactly. So, I will say this I don't know why I missed this earlier. Do not use Ivermectin Plus. You're just looking for Ivermectin. Ivermectin Plus is not for dogs. Do not use Ivermectin Plus.
And do you know why? Are you got any more for us on that?
But I don't. I will recap it when we do the next episode, and I'll have some more information on why not to.
Okay. All right. Great, man. Great. I think this is good stuff right here. Just, it's obvious that you've done your homework and you've been using this stuff for years. It's not something that you just picked up and spitting out there. This is something you've used and a lot of the same things. I think this will be really helpful for new houndsmen, and not to be, again, we're not veterinarians, but sometimes it's just common sense. And I think we see that more now in the current state of affairs of what medical professionals try to tell us versus what is common sense. And houndsmen are traditionally smart enough to figure out a lot of good stuff on their own. So,
again, and a lot of times your medical professionals are getting a kickback. That's why they want you to use their drug through them, because they're making a little extra and
follow
the money and figure it out. So,
yeah. I mean, if I borrow, and this is, vets need to make a living too. That's not my intent behind this comment. But when you pick up a Seresto collar or a pack of Heart Guard from your veterinarian, they've got a markup on that. And then they also get incentive packages from the drug companies, just like everybody else. I mean, it's business. Yep. It's not dirty. Mm-hmm. It's just business. And there's alternative ways to do things.
Yep. Take that $3 that he was going to make and put it in your fuel tank. That's what we want you to do. Go hunting.
Yeah, you got it, man. You got it. Well, Shorty, this is a great episode. We're going to follow up with the next one will be about antibiotics, and that's going to be a good one too, because that's something that I haven't really been into. But keep pumping out those pro tips for Houndsman XP, and people can find a lot of those pro tips over on our Patreon account. And if you're a Patreon supporter, then you'll have full access to all of these pro tips. But there's a lot of good stuff over there. And go to our website at Houndsman XP. You can find out how to support the show and get more of this type of information from Houndsmen that use it. So till next time, Shorty, you follow your hounds, I'll follow mine.